All right, everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Lucky Dip podcast, where we talk about gaming, esports, and all things like that. Today we have another guest. This is 2 weeks in a row we have guests on the podcast, and today I'm very excited because we have a really good guest coming up here, folks. We have the owner of the Blackland Championship Series, a Rocket League manager and sub for Team 404, and a tournament organizer for Melon Patch Gaming. You guys already know who this is if you read the title. Welcome, Nation, RL, to the podcast. How you doing?
Oh, no, man. I'm doing pretty good. What about you?
I'm doing good. Doing some house cleaning, you know, watching some RLCS. Okay, right now, as we speak, the FaZe and Complexity Games on. Who do you think's taking this?
I have FaZe in this.
Me too.
They should be able to take care of business here against Complexity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about Complexity, but all I know is FaZe has been looking pretty good so far, and I think they'll just take it.
Yeah, FaZe will probably take it, and next week we'll get to see the Complexity and Space Station tiebreaker to qualify for Sweden.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool because that's the first. Isn't that the first LAN event in, like, what is it, two years?
Yep, the last LAN was December 2019.
Oh my goodness, and that one. Explain this for me real quick. So at that event, how many teams from each region are there?
There will be 5 North American teams, 5 European teams, 1 team from Middle East, North Africa, 2 Oceanian teams, 2 South American teams, and then there's a 4-team qualifier from APAC South and APAC North that will combine, and the winner of that bracket will qualify for the LAN. So there'll be 16 total teams at Sweden.
Wow. That's going to be cool. I'm actually excited for that. I've never seen a Rocket League LAN event because I just got into Rocket League earlier this year. So I've never even seen it. Have you ever been to a LAN event or anything for esports in general, even? Not just Rocket League?
Okay, so I've been to 2 CSGO majors. I went to CWL Dallas 2018.
Ooh.
And then I went to Call of Duty Championships and Optic Gaming 1.
Oh, dude. I wish I could have seen some of that, man. Okay, Call of Duty is my favorite game, all right? I love it. I've never seen a LAN event. And I want to.
So, of our RL LANs, I had tickets to RLCS Season 9 Worlds in Dallas, Texas. And COVID-19 unfortunately impacted that the end of the season. So, they canceled, and that's unfortunate. But I'm looking to go to an event this year.
Yeah, I hope they bring them back to North America, because obviously going to Sweden is...
Worlds is in there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, that'll be good then. And which part are you located in the States?
I'm from Texas.
Okay, well, that's all really close then, actually. And now Optic Gaming has rebranded for the CDL,
yep,
or CW at least, to Optic Texas, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I've always been a lifetime Optic Gaming fan, so I'm definitely going to continue to support Optic Texas in the next CWL season.
Do you watch Call of Duty at all competitively still, or not as much?
I turn it on occasionally. I used to watch it all the time, but then once I stopped putting my interest into COD and really focusing on Rocket League, I haven't really watched a lot of it, but I'll tune on to the big matches and the big events, but for the most part, I don't watch much, but I try to watch when I can.
Yeah, because what just happened was a huge merger between Envy and Optic to create Optic Texas. So it's I never started watching competitive Call of Duty until 2 years ago. So before that, you know, I hear that Envy and Optic were always a huge rivalry, and now they had a merger, so they're the same team now. It's gonna be a crazy year.
Yeah, eClassico is what they called Optic versus Envy.
Yeah,
it's a big rival in the competitive Call of Duty scene, just like Optic and FaZe back in the day. But yeah, it's just Optic and Envy have had a long history. I mean, it's both of those teams have always been tip top of COD. They've just had some really, really good battles throughout the years.
Yeah, no, it's been exciting stuff. I guess on the topic of other games, we'll get into Rocket League in a second again. But when did you actually start gaming and have that love for video games?
When I was in 5th grade, I purchased Call of Duty Ghosts. That was my first COD.
Okay.
So that was 8 years. Well, I'm a freshman in college, so that was 8 years ago, I think.
Okay. Something like that. I remember. I played Ghosts a little bit. Not too much. I'm older than you, so the first COD I played was Modern Warfare 2 when I was in 6th grade. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't really get into COD until my 6th grade year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's just cool to see the comparison, because for me, when I was in 6th grade, it was Modern Warfare 2, and then for you it was Ghosts. You know what I mean? Right. It's like the same time, but like different game.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like a really competitive person, so when I play video games, I play to compete. So,
Did you play other sports besides esports? Like, have you always been into sports and stuff?
I've played a little bit of basketball, football, baseball. I think that's it.
Just like a bit of all of them, hey?
Yeah, except I didn't play much soccer. I didn't really enjoy soccer. But basketball, football, and baseball are my big three.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's funny, too, because Rocket League is basically soccer, you know? Like, I never played soccer either, but I love Rocket League. I like watching it. I like playing it. And soccer, I've never really been into, you know? But other than that, dude, Rocket League is just fun, man. I can't believe I only got into it at the start of this year. When did you get into Rocket League, then? When was that?
September 2016, I think. I took like 6-9 year breaks in between, but I came back from like an 8 month break back in October of 2019, and I've been playing ever since.
And when you played, were you always focused on, like, I know you said it because you're competitive, like, were you focused on like being the best player? And when did that shift kind of come into like doing the behind the scenes stuff, you know, like tournament organizing and everything?
So when I first came, I just played with some friends, met some people, and we just like, okay, well, let's form a team and, you know, play events for fun and whatnot. LCS qualifiers, other tournaments that were online. And then, a couple months passed with us teaming, scrimming for whatnot. And then an idea popped in my friend's head of, let's make a league with the teams that we scrimmed. And so I really invested my time into doing that. And then I was like, wow, this could actually maybe get somewhere. So I just really, really put my time and effort into making what BLCS is today.
And when you were playing Rocket League, I mean, I know you still do play. What rank have you peaked at? Like, what's the highest you've gotten to in Rocket League for ranks?
1643.
Okay. And that's, what is that again? That's GC...
It's like GC2 to Div 3, but that was like a long time ago. Back before, like, there was GC1, 2, 3, SSL.
Oh, really? Like, it was before the new system?
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
Damn. I've never...
It was back when GC was a top rank.
I've never gotten even close to that, so regardless, that's really impressive. I'm just... my highest rank I've ever gotten is Plat... I don't even know. Plat 2 in 2s, I think.
Plat and Diamond took like a year to get out of. It was so difficult.
It's very tough. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm not trying to be there to compete. I'm just playing for fun, you know? Right. But no, that's so impressive that you peaked at that rank. So when did you start doing BLCS then? Like, was that the first time that you actually... Go ahead.
It was founded December 22nd, 2019.
Oh, wow. So it's actually pretty new.
Coming up in 2 years here next month.
And was that your first time ever trying?
Yep, first time.
So before that, you never had any like organization experience in a sense? Like you just said, hey, let's just try this, and BLCS was born?
No experience at all.
How many teams were in the launch of BLCS?
10.
10? And was it just one, like just one tier or something like that?
Yep, it was one group, 9 weeks, single round robin, and top six made the playoffs.
Wow. It's cool to see how far it's come already in 2 years, hey?
Yeah, I'm definitely really excited with how much it's grown and things that are coming for the next year.
Yeah, no, that stuff's super exciting. And, oh man, I don't know, it's just cool because you're the first person on the podcast who, like, normally I just have players and stuff on the podcast, so it's interesting to talk to someone who has, like, that behind-the-scenes perspective, in a sense, right, for organizing, and I mean, you own the league that we compete in, one of the leagues at least. Like, that's pretty cool. And what do you think, like, what's it like organizing these things?
Well, it is a lot of hours of blood, sweat, and tears. It takes a lot of effort, really, and it's not even really all me. It's, you know, a big shout out to all my staff there that, you know, makes all this possible. But there's a lot that goes on, and it just really requires, you know, that effort and the commitment to really put in the work and get things done.
And how many people do you have like behind the scenes now for BLCS?
I think if I remember correctly, 13, maybe a little bit more, a little less.
And those people kind of help like just run everything. Hey, like, can you explain to me? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Each person is required and responsible for different stuff. Like, for instance, you had Velops in the, as your last guest on the podcast. He's responsible for like helping me on organizational stuff and like managing different events, as our other two organizers are a little bit more community based, but they're starting to get, I've started to kind of move them into organization and event managing.
So, since I've never, like, because this is also interesting to me from, with Cryus, eventually it would be nice for us to partner with people and, run our own tournaments. Not a league, but like a tournament. You know how sometimes those things happen, and hopefully that'd
Right.
be a LAN event. Can you explain to me, and just to the audience too, like, just dumb it down for me. How do you go from, like, how do you basically have the event for BLCS? Like, how do you plan out the season? Like, what effort goes into it? And can you kind of explain that to me? I don't know if that made sense, but
So basically, once we hit about, okay, well, the current, we've always had, ever since season two, we've had a 7 week regular season, and about once we hit week four, we have our first mod meeting of the season. And in that meeting, we discuss everything we didn't like about the season so far and everything we don't like. And so we really take into consideration what we like and what we don't like. We see what the changes we can make and how we can implement them and how it's going to affect our community and how it's going to affect the league as a whole. And once we feel we're comfortable with that, we'll move on to managing and how many teams we were going to want where, how many teams qualify for the playoffs and what divisions, an entirely new format if we want that, how things are going to work in the postseason, because we typically change that every other season, as we did this season. But it really just comes down to a lot of effects and that we change, we like that we didn't like or we don't like, we want different. Or then we'll ask me, like, what did you like about this? What did you not like about this? Because we'll try different events throughout the season as well, based off of tournaments and whatnot. So we'll kind of see what everyone likes and what's going to make the league fit better as a whole.
And then when did you, what was the process like for those of, who are listening right now who might not have known what BLCS was last season? Can you explain the difference between last season and the season that we're in right now, the format and stuff?
Okay, so last season we had 48 teams total, split across six groups of eight teams. The top four teams from each group made the playoffs, so it was a 24-team double elimination bracket. And then compared to this season, we have 64 teams, but the top 16 teams ranked pretty much a power ranking in the league are split into two groups of eight teams inside of Division One, and the top six teams from each group will qualify for the season eight BLCS playoffs for Division One. And those playoffs are double-sided. Six teams split in half of paid playoffs. So we'll take three teams from Group A and three teams from Group B and throw them into the playoff groups. And then we'll have a double-sided paid playoff bracket, all best of sets leading up until the grand finals. And then Division Two is 48 teams, just like last season. Six groups of eight teams, top four make the playoffs, 24 teams, double elimination.
And our team, Cryus Gaming, is in tier one, folks. That's what I'm talking about. And it's been hard competition so far. And I don't even remember if we've won a game. I think we've lost, but
You guys are
hey.
0-2 right now, but you've had some tough matches. I think you've probably already played the top two teams in your group.
Yeah, we're making a
So,
comeback now. We're ready. We have our. Well, I can't say anything yet. I almost spoiled something. Never mind. We won't talk about any of our team stuff yet. But what I was gonna say is we're gonna make a comeback now. We're gonna make a run, and we're gonna make Velops, who actually just had a really good announcement. Actually, hey, for everybody, last week Velops was on the podcast. Go listen to it; it's a great podcast. But he couldn't say, like, before the podcast, we were kind of talking, and he's like, "I want to announce something, but I can't." And finally, it was announced. So he's part of, well, the Maple Men. So Velops, Chilla, Quez, they were the Maple Men for the first couple of games in BLCS, and now they're picked up by LAG Gaming. Do you know anything about that organization, by the way?
I heard of them back in the Call of Duty days, and before it came to Rocket League, I actually competed in competitive Fortnite for about 2 years. They made a boom in that scene for a little bit, but so I heard about them there. But yeah, I've actually known about this announcement for about a month now, so I'm excited for them to see where things go for them moving forward.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I mean, I've known about it for a while. I just wasn't sure exactly if it was LAG. Like, I wasn't sure if that was the exact one, but we have some detectives on our team. We were looking around, so we kind of figured it out, but we were just waiting for a bit for the announcement, which is, it's nice that it's out. Congrats to them. they're really good competition. And take me back to Fortnite for a second. You did competitive Fortnite for a bit?
2 years, I did.
Like which 2 years? Like from 2017 or
2017 to 2019.
And how was that? Like, what was that like doing competitive Fortnite, dude? I used to play Fortnite when it first came out. Like, I mean, everybody did. But I never,
honestly,
like, yeah.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed my time playing competitive in there. I mean, I made $200 in prizing. It was a lot of really fun events, meeting new people and, you know, teaming with them for excessive amount of time and really putting in the grind, working, scrimming, practicing, you know, the confrontations and everything like that. But it was a lot of fun. I miss it, honestly. It was really fun, you know, vibing with the guys late at night.
I miss it too, dude. Like, I never competed, like I said, but Fortnite was probably some of the most fun I had in gaming when it wasn't so intense as it is now. Like, there's like 12-year-olds who are cracked. I mean, same with Rocket League, but like, you know, you're going down, yeah, and you're about to get in a 1v1 with someone and they build the freaking Eiffel Tower and you're like, dude, what?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the competitive scene there has changed. I still keep up with it. The competitive scene there has really changed drastically throughout the years. It used to be a whole bunch of, like, you know, build fights and, like, a couple, you know, edits here and there. But now it's really so more, like, a lot of box fighting. You have to be really good at editing and, like, fast building and speed editing, really.
Okay.
And back in the day when I played, you know, that wasn't really a big thing. It was more so, you know, it's more focused about rotations. But now it's more so just about, you know, bum rushing and really getting people's boxes and messing them up.
And when you played, you got to refresh me here because I can't remember. Is it quads? Like, you have a group of four guys or is it two for competitive?
So I played competitive Fortnite in 2018, 2019, which is heavily duo and solo phase focused. But I played a couple trio events towards back in season X, which is my final competitive season. And I did all right there. But yeah, trios is three people, two is squad. I played one squads event. It didn't go so well, but that was after I had already kind of retired from competitive play. But I really enjoyed playing competitive Fortnite.
No, that's cool. I honestly never knew that. That's kind of exciting because, like, it's something different, you know? Did you ever think to try to do anything? Because, see, here's the thing. I think Rocket League is really good as an esport because, like, it seems like such a nice way and, like, it's a relatively easy, in my opinion, way to run tournaments and stuff because it's, like, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, you can have best of five, best of sevens, 3-on-3. You just play until one team wins. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like a nice, solid way. Were you ever thinking for Fortnite that you wanted to try to, like, run any tourneys or did you run any tournaments or anything or leagues?
No, not at all.
No? Did you ever think about it or you're just like, nah, I'm just going to
play? No, I really just focus on playing.
No, that's fair.
I don't know how to run stuff in Fortnite. I just kind of play the game.
I have no idea either. That's why, I think what I was trying to say.
Fortnite, competitive Fortnite's based off points, and it's kind of really weird to kind of figure all that out and keep up with it.
That's what I mean. It's weird, right? And then also, though, why Rocket League is nice is because they have a lot of, like, user-friendly ways within the game to, like, run just tournaments and stuff, you know? Like, it's, I know you can do different private matches and whatnot, but it's like, it's just like, it seems very user-friendly to kind of get started. And from a viewer's perspective, it's just easy to watch, know what's going on, and you just, you know who wins, and it's not too complex. Did you play any other esports competitively, or any other games competitively, rather?
Like COD competitively for 3 years, 4 years.
Which CODs did you play competitively in?
Advanced Warfare through Black Ops 4.
Oh, dude, Black Ops 4 was fun. Man, I played every single Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 2, but never competitively. The most competitive thing I ever did was playing game battles.
And I did game battles in UMGs.
Dude, I used to... Okay, you know what's crazy? Yeah, okay. A couple of years... Actually, for Black Ops 4, I had four of us on UMG, and we were near the top of the ladder for our grouping, and one of the games that we played was against Illy, who's now on Optic.
Yeah, Illy's been a really stud... not necessarily a rookie anymore, but he's kind of came out of... you know, out of nowhere, and really started popping off a couple of years ago, back in, I believe, the one after World War II, back when they first moved to the CDL franchised league. Yeah. But Illy's been a really fun player to watch grow as a player. So
I'm excited to see.
Definitely the top player of the league now.
Dude, I'm excited to see the new squad they have. I mean, I've been watching, like, Optic Scumpy since since
Black Ops 2.
Yeah, literally since Black Ops 2. Like, I was in middle school at the time. I was in junior high, and I would just go home and watch him every single day on YouTube. I didn't even know what streaming was. I didn't know that he played live or that he was a competitive player. I didn't even know what that meant. I would just go watch his YouTube videos and then, like, practice, you know? And now it's just cool.
Yeah, I've actually been fortunate enough to meet Scump himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, where?
I met him at Champs and at CWL Dallas.
Is he nice?
He's a good guy. I mean, I've got to meet him, Crimsix, Nadeshot, all the goats, really.
Dude, you're just telling me this now? You've met all the goats of COD?
Yep. Blaster, Crimsix, Parasite, Nadeshot, Skunk, Karma, Formal, and the old Fizz guys, Prisa, Zuma, Enable.
Dude, that's so cool, man. What is it like going to one of those events? I mean, I know it's probably different now, or when, you know, when they're coming back, but like, you went to CWL, how was that?
It's crazy because, like, it's fun. And when Optic plays, it is unreal. The stadium's loud. It's you can barely hear the person next to you. It's all Let's Go Optic chants the whole time.
Dude, that gets me hyped, man. You see, stuff like that is like what inspired me to like want to start Cryus and stuff and kind of try to build it. I know we're in Rocket League right now, but like, you know, originally I came with the Cryus in 2019 and I just didn't know like the next steps or anything. So I like put it off to the side until Alex and, you know, everything kind of came along with our one class and stuff, that our Launchpad class. But anyways, in 2019, I wanted to have like a competitive COD team because CWL was still there, so it was open bracket. But now CDL, it's all franchised, and now it's like impossible. Like, you literally can't.
You can go through challengers is the way to get noticed, but it's different in how you can qualify and whatnot. So I definitely understand that and how this changed. I personally think they should go back to how they used to do it, but
or at least
I'm not an organizer for CDL.
Yeah, no, I know, but I agree though, because I think they should bring at least something. Because like, dude, when it's like the same 12 teams the whole year, and like there's no chance for like those underdogs to come in and like just go off and win all the tourneys and qualify and stuff. If they made some or brought challenges into it a bit more, you know, because I do like challenges. That's been something that's been on my radar for getting a team in eventually. But it's just kind of hard because you can win some money through challenges and stuff, but it's almost like the recognition is not as much there because you're never going to play against like the big, you know what I mean?
Yep. Speaking about that, actually, so when I went to CWL Dallas and you mentioned the open pool play, at the actual LAN, when I went there, the team that got thrown in Optic's group with Envy, Optic, and Enigma 6, I think the other team was, they beat Enigma 6 3-0, beat Envy 3-1, and took Optic to game 5 and made the playoffs.
See, that's what I want to see. Like, how hype was that? I mean, I know it's against Optic, but still.
It was nuts. I mean, watching an open ladder team come through and making it into the group play is, it's already, you know, a feat in itself. And yeah, then you take down Envy 3-1, I think, or maybe it was even 3-0, but that was nuts watching Envy lose. Because Envy was technically expected to win the event, and they didn't make it through groups.
Dude, like, I wish that stuff could still happen, because I think that would just be so, so it tells a story on its own. You know what I mean? Like, that's the story right there. Look at this team who's just taking everybody out. I don't know. That stuff gets me excited.
That was also whenever United came along. That was their first event.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gunless. I don't remember the roster, but I think it was Gunless, Arcides, Pristini.
Oof.
And Silly, I think the other guy was.
Okay.
They made the grand finals against Optic. Optic bracket resetted them. It was really, dude, it got toxic. Holy.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the players did?
No, the fans. There's people that had to be removed from the stadium, but there was a ton of like toxicity, but it was funny.
That would be though. But see, man, that's why I've never been to like a LAN event. That's why I'm so excited. Like, for whatever esport it is, you know, it'll probably be a Rocket League first, but I'm just excited to be around people while like the top tier players are playing and like everybody's there to like watch it and be in that area, you know. But you're in Texas, that's exactly where everything's happening. Like, that's like the epicenter for esports, it seems, besides LA.
Yeah, I think Texas will get a LAN here soon, I hope, for Rocket League. I'm praying, but I'm definitely gonna try to get out to Worlds no matter where it is in North America. I really want to go to an event and, you know, make those connections and network with all those people that I've met online the last 2 years.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy because, yeah, we've built Cryus and I've never even, like, met any of our players in person. You know what I mean? They don't even live at all near me. They basically live, like, so they live in Winnipeg, or sorry, Manitoba. That's the province. So that's like directly north of you. They're Central Time. And then I live in British Columbia, which is like West Coast, just above freaking California. Like, that's how far away we are.
Damn. So, that's right next to like Alaska, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Except that's a bit further up. But yeah, it borders it. Isn't that crazy though? Like how far away that is, and like we're like building this thing. And I mean, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, running an organization, I'm sure it takes a lot of work. It's not something that you can just kind of sit down and do in one day. It takes a lot of effort, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the hardest part is because we always, like Alex and I, you know, we went to school together and stuff, so like, but ever since the pandemic, like we haven't been in person together except one time, and we just want so badly to be like in the same place again so we can like at least meet up and like film some content and, you know, have like a just a space to just grow, because sometimes, as you probably feel too, like when you're sitting at your desk by yourself, yet you're like virtually you have all these people helping, but you're still kind of by yourself. Like I want to meet people again,
you know? Right. I'm definitely looking forward to land whenever I can get myself out there.
Now, here's a question. You ready for this one? BLCS, LAN. What is it?
That probably honestly never happened, but it'd be really cool.
That'd be crazy, though. Hey, could you imagine?
Like, it'd have to be like 2 years in advance to plan.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
I'm actually organizing an event for Melon Patch Gaming and later this year, and there's talks about it being a LAN next summer.
Oh, wow. So you actually plan these things like way, way in advance, hey?
They started planning it pre-COVID.
Whoa. And
it was supposed to happen 2 years ago or a year ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But I had to call everything off. But
And now this is probably silly.
Now. I can't like too much, but.
No, that's all good. Okay, now don't talk about them specifically, but just in general, when a tournament's being organized, why, like, what goes into it? Like, do you have to find sponsors? Do you have to find a venue? Like, I know you only have experience with Melon Patch, but I don't want you to leak anything. But just in general, what's the kind of like the work that goes in planning these things?
It starts with the upper staff and what their goals are for the event and what they're wanting to accomplish. And then some companies will go out and look for sponsors or different partnerships they can find to help power the event or put on a prize pool or help producing and whatnot. But then after that, it really comes down to the organization as a whole and what they're wanting to really do with the event. And it kind of depends on the style of the event, the format, and what all is going to encase with the event.
Okay. And so let's take it back to BLCS for a second. What are some of your goals with it? Like, where would you like to see it go? Would you like to see some like sponsorships and things like that, or like kind of what are your plans in the future if you could?
Working next year, I mean, I definitely want a sponsorship if I can get one. I've gotten declined by like a couple companies, but it is what it is. It's definitely something I want in the future. We just introduced money prize pools, which is very nice. We have a slight partnership that's with another league who's sponsoring our seasons for us right now, so that's really nice of them. Yeah, that's definitely one big thing that we're proud of.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
We're kind of looking to really grow the community still. We're trying to hit 1,000 members before mid-2022.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, we have some big things planned in 2022 that we can't talk about right now.
Yeah, I know. That's the part that sucks. Hey, I just want to talk about everything, but we can't. But it's okay, because everybody will see it in due time. When the time comes for them to see it, they'll see it. But yeah, I think the hardest part, I mean, at least for an organizational standpoint as well, is finding those sponsorships and those partnerships, because that's how you make some money. Not necessarily, I'm not even saying like, so I make some money personally. I just mean like, so the organization makes some money and so I can pay my players sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I just want so badly to like pay all these guys. And like, that's the hardest part, is getting these companies when you're brand new. You know, they're like, what is esports? Yep. Especially in Canada, dude. Like, that's where it's so much different even than the States. Is like, up here in Canada, like, it's so spread out, less population. And like, I feel like we're so far behind. People don't even really know what it is. I'm talking like business people and stuff, you know? They have no idea. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only part that's annoying. I'm like, guys, listen to me. Even when we were in our Launchpad class with Cryus, our professor, like the business guy and like all these other business people who are in the class, not in the class, they were our age, but you know what I mean? Like these higher up people, whatever. None of them even understand what esports is. And I'm like, dude.
A lot of people really don't.
It's tough.
I think esports is going to boom here soon. And I mean, it already kind of really has started booming, but a lot of people just kind of don't know what esports is. But I'm sure they're going to eventually find out.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. You want to talk a bit about Team 404 now, real quick? Do you still do stuff with them? Like you're.
I'm the Rocket League manager for Team 404. Right now, our roster consists of Bax, Paperclip, and Wicked, who we just picked up last night. Sorry, oh, nice. Third. Yeah, we had an old roster, Bax, Paperclip, and C. They've been teaming for like a year, and it just kind of got a bit too much trolling and not really that serious. And Bax was ready for a change. And so we decided to move seats towards a sub spot, and we looked for a new third, Backs and Paperclip. We had a new guy named Villain, but unfortunately, he started working 40 hours a week, so he was no longer able to like play competitively. And so that's when we picked up Wicked, Backs' old teammate. We're kind of shocked that we were able to pick him up, because Backs and Wicked have some history, and so we're glad it all kind of got sorted out moving forward here. We did get signed to 404 about a month ago.
Nice.
So we've been really excited to be here and move forward.
So what's it like being a manager then for a Rocket League team? Because that's something that we're trying to find a position for at Cryos, finding somebody to help manage some of our guys. So like, what kind of things do you do in that role?
Finding tournaments, setting up scrims, finding, leagues or something like that to compete in. That's about it, really.
So it's... Yeah. No, I mean, you're also busy, I mean, running BLCS and doing all this other stuff, right? So I can see that that's probably a little extra for you. But no, I definitely think it's an important role and, something to help keep everything organized. And so were you with these other players? Like there was like, you were kind of the manager for them, then you got picked up by Team 404,
yeah.
I said?
I was manager. I've been a manager for them for like 3 months, 4 months now.
Okay, and then were you just like looking around for different orgs, and then like
yeah, we were a part of an org, but we kind of came to the decision that the org wasn't really doing too much for us, and so we were just ready to move on.
Okay,
and so we found an org that really brought us in and is doing us a lot of stuff and giving us benefits.
Oh, awesome! And so, what is Team 404 then? Like, where are they based out of, and like, what do they have other teams and stuff?
So, 404 is a London-based organization. And they compete in games like Rainbow Six Siege, COD, Fortnite. They just signed a Valorant roster 2 days ago. And the Rocket League now with us. They're huge in Fortnite. They have actually a couple top-tier players, actually, I believe. But yeah, they're a cool org. They've got some cool things going on.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. I like that. We want to get some other teams. Again, not going to say anything about Rocket League right now. Because I'm going to accidentally spoil. I'm bad at keeping. I gotta, not spoil things. But eventually.
A lot of times I've leaked stuff on accident. That can't even count.
Yeah, well, sometimes you don't even realize it. Because we know a lot of stuff, but we can't say a lot of stuff.
Right. Because I'll be talking to someone who knows, and I'm like, someone doesn't know, and they call me like, oh, God, I just leaked it.
Right? Yeah, I know. Or like how, yeah, it's same thing. We both know things, and then I'm like, okay, well, we both know, and then I forget, oh, wait, this is a podcast. Everybody's listening to that. I can't be saying that stuff. But
yeah, I've totally spoiled a couple org announcements. But
okay, so I won't tell you any org announcements. You already know one, but you don't know. It's okay. We'll get off the topic of spoiling.
I heard about it a couple days ago. Suki told me.
Yeah. Now, what in your opinion, what would be a good second esport to enter besides Rocket League? Like the next step.
Valorant.
Okay, that's what I was thinking too. Have you played Valorant?
I've played before. I don't know. I'm not really that great at FPS, games like that. I've never really enjoyed that, but it's hard because it's like, I don't really have that many people to play with. I mean, if I had people to play with consistently, I'd play it a lot more, but
yeah.
I think Valorant is starting to really become a top esport in the scene right now, and I think, if you can get a good team in Valorant before people start, costing way too much money to pay, that's a good team to have.
And you think it's also good because it's still, well, first, because it's run by like a good, from what I know, a relatively good, what are they called?
Company.
Yeah. The people who make the video games, what are they called again?
Developers.
Developers, thank you. Jeez. Yeah. Decent developers. I mean, League of Legends is huge. Arguably, probably
Riot
the biggest esports.
Big stuff in the esports scene.
Yeah, so I think Valorant would be a good one, especially because like, a lot of these tournaments and stuff are still open bracket, right?
Yeah, VCT is all open qualifiers.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. But that's what I was thinking too. I was like, man, Valorant would be sweet. Like, I've never played it, but I just
But
know
the
that's big.
support that they give their players is unmatched by any other esport.
Yeah. I hear that. I hear that loud and clear. That's why I thought they'd be a really good one too, because I know that they're good and they have a good track record with League of Legends for the most part. And I mean, that's a huge game, and that's been out for years.
Long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, League of Legends. I feel like it's not as big as it used to be, but it's definitely a top esport, tier one for sure.
Oh
But
yeah.
when they do have those road events, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I just so badly like
I don't understand League of Legends at all, so I don't know how it all works,
I don't
but
either. I was just gonna
if I
say
knew how it works, I think I'd watch it. It looks cool, but I just don't understand like what the objectives are and how it all works.
I think it's too complex for us to understand because we've never played it. If we would have like played it years ago, we'd be like, oh, this is super simple. But it's not like Rocket League where you can kind of just watch and you sort of get it from it, you know, you can just kind of watch it. It's
Well, it's games that are sports based, I feel like are a lot way more easier to understand than, games like League of Legends or Valorant, CS:GO, Rainbow Six Siege.
Even Call of Duty is confusing. I just know
I
because I've
feel
always
like
played it.
I'm gonna say COD, but I feel like COD's kind of not that hard to understand. I mean,
Yeah, it's probably
actually, you know
easier.
what? I guess COD's a little bit difficult to understand because of all the new game modes that they have, but I feel like peak competitive COD for me when I played was AW because the events in AW were so much fun. I mean, Uplink, Hardpoint were arguably two of the greatest competitive modes I feel like in
Uplink
COD history.
was so
Yeah,
fun.
Uplink was such a great game mode. I don't know why they got rid of it.
Dude, do you play Splitgate at all or no?
No, I've never touched it.
Okay, see that's the only I've been playing that recently just because it's like similar to like Halo with Call of Duty with like portals and stuff. Just because like you have jetpacks and stuff, and I miss COD when it had jetpacks. It was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jetpack CODs were great. I mean, AW and Black Ops 3 were so much fun.
Black Ops 3
Infinite
is the
Warfare was
best.
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Ops 3, I actually got Dark Matter.
Did you really?
I was a camo grinder back in the day.
Oh, dude, nice. I think the most I've ever gotten is like two or three guns gold. And for those of you who are listening, that's hard to do. To get Dark Matter, you have to get
Every single
diamond.
gun gold.
Yeah, like you literally have to get gold on every single gun. And these are like challenges you have to do. And some of them are very difficult on every single gun, like ARs, SMGs, pistols, rocket launch, everything.
To get each class of diamond to unlock
Yes.
Dark Matter.
It's basically a huge grind. Like you have to be committing time to that. You can't just casually do it. I tried, and like I said, I've only gotten maybe two or three guns
Played
gold.
Dark Matter for about a week and my account got hacked and everything. I lost everything.
Dude, really?
Yep.
Oh, I would have lost full. I
I
actually would
was
have.
so upset, man. I worked so hard for Dark Matter.
I can't believe that. Why would people do that? Like, why just leave the
I
accounts?
later on got it back,
Okay.
when I first got it, I was so mad.
Oh, that would have been terrible. The amount of hours you would have put into that?
Like that's kind of I would just go sit and play pubs. Okay, I need to do this challenge, and that challenge. I don't care what KD is. I'm literally focusing on doing the challenges. I don't care what happens.
Yeah, that's what you got to do for it. Okay, we're gonna wrap this up pretty soon, but before we do, what's it like being a tournament organizer for Melon Patch? You have so many things you do. So
Being a
it's.
tournament organizer for Melon Patch Gaming has been a blessing. I mean, I've always kind of been following MPG and what they have going on. I really like what they have going on. I think they're a great organization to really, they have a lot of really cool things planned for 2022. And being a tournament organizer is a lot of work, like I mentioned before earlier in the podcast. And there's a lot of, different events that we've been working on and I've been putting my focus into, like, and then, also the backside of these things is, asking for graphics and managing the Smash page and seeding and filling all the requirements as a tournament organizer to also work with other sides of the company, like community managers, owners, higher staff, graphic designers, visual and audio effect designers as well. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how did you get that one? Like, did you just contact someone? Did you like apply for it? Did they reach out to
So,
you?
Wooz has known about BLCS for a long time, the owner of Melon Patch Gaming. I also was best friends at Full Touch because he managed my best friend Monk, his Rocket League team, MPG Jr., who ended up disbanding. So I had a connection with Volt as well. And Volt is the CEO of Melon Patch Gaming. And so when Melon Patch Gaming posted a tweet they were hiring, And Fultz and Wooz told me that I was their number one option for tournament organizer. They came and asked me, immediately said yes because I've always wanted to work for MPG, so I'm really happy to be here.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I remember seeing that on Twitter. How long has it been now? Was that a couple months ago?
That was maybe a month ago. It
Oh, is
wasn't
that
that long ago.
soon? Oh my goodness, time doesn't make sense to me sometimes.
Maybe not even a month, but it's been at least 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. No, that's awesome though. How do you keep track of all of the things that you're doing? That is impressive to me.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of free time, and so I really can, invest my time into BLCS or MPG or managing the Rocket League team, for example. But yeah, I think my typical work week looks about like 50 hours a week.
That's a lot.
I mean, I guess I should let that know that's not right. That's way off. But I say for BLCS, I put in like 70 hours a week, actually, maybe more, depending on the week. But I've put in so much work, man.
Yeah, I believe it. That's why it's run so well, because you actually put in the effort to make it good.
Yeah.
That's why we like competing in it too, because we just know. And it's like, and I want to say this too. We're getting to the end of the podcast. I want to gas you up a little bit, if I haven't already, because BLCS, from our standpoint, from an org standpoint, has been like the best league that we've been in. And we've been in a few different leagues, Indie Gaming League, and I'm not saying that they're not good. Any of these other leagues, they're just not as
A lot
good.
of leagues have so much different stuff that they offer, and so some teams benefit more from other things than they do from other leagues.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the team and how serious they are about competing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good leagues out there that do the justice for other teams. For example, IGL, Seasonal Shootout. That's about really all the other leagues I know besides the one we're partnered with, Rocket Bowl. But that's for like lower tier teams like Diamond to High Champ, I think. Maybe they just introduced Low GC1.
Okay.
But yeah.
No,
I feel like
that's.
it just depends on the team and the league, really, what all
Yeah.
they offer.
No, that's fair. But like BLCS, yeah, you guys so far at least have a great community built. The other teams and everybody who's been in it has been awesome. And yeah, we haven't had any issues, which is also great. You know what I mean? Like I like how you're streaming them and everything like that, and active on Twitter and stuff like that too. Like it's just really nice because it feels like a nice community for Rocket League. And
Yeah, it's
it's a lot of
definitely hard
fun.
being a college student now. It's kind of rough to, do what everything I used to do. So I try to put in as much work as I can, and sometimes I just really can't because I'm busy with, college essays or test exam week or
Yeah.
like that. But I'm almost done with this semester, so I'm about to be able to put in a lot more work going into the playoffs, which I'm really excited about for this season and how it's all going to work out for Division One with the new format. So I'm excited to watch these matches play out.
I'm excited for to watch us playing them and hopefully win. That's what I'm going
Right.
for.
Yeah, it's been
But
fun watching Prize play, man. You guys have a very talented roster, and it's going to be a lot of fun watching those guys play.
thank you. I'm excited. I'm ready to start competing again, getting our squad back in it, and getting some W's, because that's what we want to see at the end of the day. But yeah, that's all I have for questions, things to talk about. We're almost at 45 minutes. Do you want to shout out anything, any socials? Where do you like people to find you, anything like that?
You can go and follow me on Twitter at NationRL underscore is my main platform that I use. My Twitch is NationRL. That's about really it. All my social medias is just NationRL underscore on Twitter and NationRL on Twitch.
Awesome. And yeah, if you want to ever watch Cryus competing in BLCS, if we're not streaming it, if our players aren't streaming it, Nation's streaming it. So go check out his stream on Twitch. And I think that's all I have. You have anything else you'd like to add at the end here?
I don't think so. That's about it, man.
Sweet. All right. Thanks for hopping on the podcast today.
No problem. Thanks for bringing me on.
That is the end of the podcast for this week, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Nation was a great guest. And what I love about having guests on the podcast is you can learn so much from these people, because you're sitting down for 45 minutes, you're talking, you learn new things, you're meeting people, or talking with people rather, in the community who are part of the community. And I think Nation was actually the first person who wasn't, I think I even mentioned this podcast, someone who wasn't a player. I mean, he does play, but the main thing that he does is run a league, do tournament organizing, do management stuff. So that's also like really cool to get different perspectives. And I think he's also the first person who's not from Canada that I've had on the podcast as well. So, he's in the epicenter of where esports is in the States. Basically, like Texas is where everything happens. That's where the headquarters for a ton of different organizations are, and that's where I think a lot of those in-person LAN events are going to be in the future. So it's a really good place to be for esports, and you know, I think Canada hopefully will catch up, and we'll try to find out which place that's going to be. Don't know where it's going to be yet, but we'll figure that out. Anyways, thank you for listening to this episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast. Again, huge shout out and thank you to Nation for being on the podcast this week. And I don't know if we'll have a guest next week. Sometimes I don't know until the day before. We'll see how I'm feeling. Maybe I'll take it solo next week. You'll have to wait and find out. See you guys next time.